Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
Factories lose 2,000 jobs in 1 month. So the question is, what happened? Took 2 years, but FedEx pilots have a tentative contract. Meanwhile, pilots at United approve a strike. Today on the show, we check in with the Ohio AFL-CIO and the Teamsters in Michigan. That would be Local 332. Welcome to the June 6th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two guests on the show today. We're going to start things off. Longtime regular, that would be Timothy Berga, who is president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, website ohioaflcio.org. And we're going to spend the bulk of the conversation with Tim on State Issue 1, which right now, things could change, but right now, it's on the August special election ballot, and this is a special election that should not be taking place because the lame duck session of the legislature said no more August elections because nobody shows up, and they're too costly. This one's going to cost about $20 million, and the supermajority in the State House pretty much rammed this through, and there's a campaign group called One Person, One Vote. And they are the group opposing State Issue 1. You want to vote no on this. This issue would require future amendments to the Ohio Constitution to get a 60% supermajority in a statewide vote compared to the current 50% plus one vote, which has been around since 1912. So what's the problem? Well, that's kind of what Tim is going to talk about on the show today. There is a lawsuit, actually two of them, One Person, One Vote, filed two separate lawsuits against Ohio officials. The one challenges the ballot language, which is confusing. In fact, some of the lawmakers said, yeah, we made a few mistakes, but they're not big mistakes. Don't worry about them. And the other is challenging the legal process through which the lawmakers scheduled the August 8th election. And we're going to run down a couple of deadlines here because you got to be registered in July. Tim's going to lay a couple of dates on us to make sure that everybody votes no on this issue. This is going to be difficult, too, because the backers plan to spend millions, I think up to $6 million to get their message across. So there will be a tug of war. Hopefully people will show up at the polls. That's what this is all about. Later in the show, we're going to go to the state of Michigan. Dan Glass is president of Teamsters Local 332. Teamsters332.com is their website. This is a local that was founded almost 90 years ago, November 11th, 1933. Dan was hired into UPS as a part-timer on the preload shift going back to 94. He went full-time in 2000, worked for the local from November of 2015 to June of 2019 as a business agent and trustee. He became president and principal officer of 332 in December of last year. A couple of things we're going to get into is right to work, the repeal, what the Teamsters did and what so many unions did in the state of Michigan to repeal right to work, which went into effect in 2012 when we had, again, a supermajority legislature. Things change in the legislature in Michigan, and right to work is going away. Officially, it won't go away until March of next year. But we'll touch on that. We'll touch on the UPS contract. I'm reading some good things out of National that a number of gains have already been made on a tentative agreement. The deadline is in July. Five issues, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but one of them was securing unlimited time for UPS Teamster stewards on the clock and fully paid to attend orientation meetings, winning more opportunities for job vacancies to be filled by existing Teamster members prior to UPS hiring external workers, while guaranteeing that UPS will honor their members' length of service and pay for any members' moving expenses to fill a job if necessary. So just a couple of things that are happening on the national basis. Good stuff there. There's also a steel contract and Ascension Genesis nurses there. They have a contract that expires in about 11 months, and a lot of problems there at Ascension Genesis. So Dan Glass will be our second guest right here on the show. Now, brief look into the world of labor, the segment brought to you by the good folks at Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. Nation's unemployment rate actually went up in June, rose to 3.7%. from a five-decade low of 3.4% in April, 339,000 jobs created. Gains were widespread. Construction, shipping, warehousing, restaurants and hotels, government health care. Now, here's the surprise in the statistics. Manufacturing lost 2,000 jobs in May. And that prompted a comment from Scott Paul, who heads the Alliance for American Manufacturing. This is what Scott said. There is good reason to be bullish in the future of American manufacturing with factory construction booming, but we cannot overlook the current weakness in employment numbers. Factory jobs have been stalled this year, partly a product of the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes. The industrial policies put in place by Congress and the administration will bear fruit as long as monetary policy does not stand in the way. Scott goes on to say, with the debt ceiling drama behind us, we look forward to working with Congress to advance additional competitiveness measures that will ensure a strong future for American manufacturing. You could find more at AmericanManufacturing.org. Well, after 2 years of contract talks, FedEx has reached a tentative agreement with its air delivery pilots who had voted in favor of a strike earlier last month seeking higher pay. At the vote, 99% of 6,000 FedEx Express pilots represented by the Airline Pilots Association voted in favor of a strike should FedEx continue to refuse to compromise in pay negotiations, which, by the way, have been going on since May of 2021. Exact terms have yet to be announced by FedEx or the Airline Pilots Association. FedEx, they are a tough one to deal with, no doubt about that. Meanwhile, leaders of the Pilots Association at United voted unanimously to approve a strike authorization vote. Now, the vote would not immediately trigger a strike, but would allow union leaders to call for a walkout if one is authorized by the National Mediation Board. Now, the Railway Labor Act, which governs airline labor relations, outlines a multi-phase process for such authorization. Several major U.S. carriers, including American Airlines, Delta, Southwest, and FedEx, have recently approved similar strike votes, with Delta pilots approving a new contract in March, and American Airlines, and of course, I just mentioned FedEx pilots, reaching a tentative contract agreement. It's kind of a ploy there to say, hey, you know what? We're going to go on strike. I know it's not going to be easy to actually manage a strike if that should happen, but maybe you should sit down and talk some more with us. Unite Here, Local 11, is asking 15,000 of its members working in hotels, this would be across Los Angeles and Orange counties, to authorize a strike during the height of the tourist season, and that is to jumpstart contract talks. Existing contracts are expiring at the end of June at 62 hotels in Southern California. A strike authorization vote would, the union hopes, move negotiations along and force hotel operators to take workers' need for pay increases seriously. Negotiations would also address concerns of understaffing and implementation of further protections for California hotel workers, and this would be in light of the upcoming World Cup and Olympics. Yeah, timing is everything, especially when you have a job action. That would really cripple the area. 15,000 members? Unite Here, Local 11. Give them a shout out today. And one more here before we break it. We got some good news for those involved in the Writers Guild strike, which, believe it or not, today enters week number 6. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers has reached a tentative agreement with the Directors Guild of America, confirming that artificial intelligence is not a person, and that generating AI, artificial intelligence, cannot replace the duties performed by members. It's amazing that they even said that statement. Artificial intelligence is not a person. And obviously that was a big issue. Now, the Writers Guild also sought from the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers, and thus far has been denied the same guarantee. Now, they did reach an agreement again with the Directors Guild of America, but the Alliance, they, I guess, still feel that artificial intelligence is a person. We'll keep you posted on that one. All right, quick break. When we come back, Tim Berga on behalf of the Ohio AFL-CIO.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans. And we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers. And we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 70 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at AFGE.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at USW.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next portion of the show, sponsored by iMed. Switching to managed vision care may save your fun money and deliver a better experience. So here's what you do. Go to imed.com/union and you'll learn a whole lot more. All right, let's go to Columbus, Ohio. Joining us, as he does each and every month at the beginning of the month, is Timothy Berga, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO, ohioaflcio.org. And right now, all of labor is engaged in a battle on State Issue 1. This will be on the August 8th special election ballot, something that should not be happening because the previous lame duck session said no more August elections. Timothy Berga, this is a crazy issue here, and basically it would kind of put limits on democracy. One person, one vote we're talking about here, and that's the campaign that's underway right now. Fill us in. Where are we right now? Maybe you should just refresh our listeners what the supermajority has done in the state of Ohio. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, thanks, Flash. Yeah, they're trying to take away more of our rights and freedoms. That's what they're trying to do, this time by way of limiting our direct democracy. For 111 years, Ohioans have had the right to go to the ballot for a constitutional amendment. And now they want to say, well, we're going to make it much more difficult for you to be able to do that by making it harder to get the signatures to file. then instead of a simple majority, 50% plus one, should you get it on the ballot, you're going to now need a, you'll now need a 60% majority to pass it. So 40% of Ohioans can block what the rest of the state wants to get done. So, you know, it's more of an attempt as a political power grab to keep control. And, you know, we're going to run a full throttle labor campaign to make sure that union members and their family understand the stakes here and vote no on August the 8th. That's where we're at. Now there's a lawsuit as well saying that the legislature did not properly pass the resolution to put this on an August 8th special election because just in December, as you'd indicated, they had prohibited August special elections unless it's a local levy emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ballot board then botched the language that'll show up on the ballot. They completely got something wrong. So there's two lawsuits going now, which the Ohio Supreme Court will hear. But we're preparing for an August 8th special election to get Ohioans out there to vote no, and voting will start July 11th. And I think it's really going to tax our county boards of elections, especially those like up in Cuyahoga County who have September primary elections as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real mess that this Republican-controlled legislature has put out there again. Now, this is an issue, Flash, that all four of our former governors in the state, all four living governors, ex-governors, have said this is wrong and shouldn't be happening. And five, and two of those Republican, two Democrat, and five former attorney generals of the state, two Republicans, three Democrats, have said this is wrong as well. So it's really a bad thing that, you know, we need to make sure Ohioans understand what it is and when the election is, and get out there and vote it down.
You mentioned the ballot language, and I guess the court's looking at that right now, and it's kind of confusing. Can you give us a little insight on that, Tim?
Well, normally what a ballot board would say, if you're trying to change a law from something to something else, you would say, here's what it is, and here's what it's going to. Well, they're trying to use words to kind of sugarcoat it so it doesn't look sound so bad. And so there's a lawsuit on that they're not properly representing what this is, that it's going from a simple majority to a 60% supermajority and ending a simple majority rule. And the other thing is that on the ballot, on the signature requirements to get something on the ballot, they've are incorrect in what has to occur in each county. It's a little technical, but they've even admitted that they've made that mistake, but they're kind of saying, well, yeah, we made a mistake with that, but it's not that big of a mistake. Well, that's not how that's not how elections should go, right? If you spell, let's say somebody's running for mayor and you misspell their name, well, that's not right, is it?
Right.
On the ballot. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. The Ohio Supreme Court, you know, is controlled by Republicans, so we'll see what they do.
And we have no idea when they're going to rule on this, Tim?
It'll be soon. Voting starts July 11th, and you've got to print the ballots. You got to prepare everything. You know, should the lawsuit saying the election is illegal in the first place, should that not go through, then we have the election. They're going to start printing the ballots, getting everything ready. And, oh, by the way, at a cost of $20 million to the taxpayers.
Right. Let me ask you, what are you hearing from the election boards? I mean, are they ready for this kind of thing? I mean, that's right around the corner, Tim.
Well, they'll do their very best to get ready, but you know how hard it's been to get poll workers and to get the apparatus and machinery and everything in place. It's going to be doubly hard now that you're doing it in an August special election where folks weren't really prepared for it. You had a number of Board of Elections who have spoken out publicly saying this is a terrible idea. And I know several counties have September primaries this year. So you're going to have voting registration deadlines that back up against one another. You're going to have the election, the early voting election stuff that kind of backs up to one another, printing all those ballots, getting everything right. So Don't be surprised if there's some mistakes along the way.
Tim, you mentioned former governors and attorney generals, and I just want to bring up newspaper opinions and around the state. I don't know of one newspaper that's in favor of this. I mean, they're all very much against it. I'm going to read something here. I believe this is from the Plain Dealer recently. This is dirty play at its worst. Ohio politicians elected to serve the people want to rob them of their voice in the middle of summer, when it'll be easier to kill democracy because no one's paying attention. They are moving the goalposts mid-game precisely to thwart a proposed amendment to keep abortion legal in the state. Again, they said so. It is abundantly clear that absolute power has absolutely corrupted one-party rule in the state of Ohio. Now, let's talk what's at play here, because they're kind of getting away from the reproductive rights. And they're saying they have to do this because of outside interests. What's your take on that, Tim?
Well, the outside interest is the Illinois billionaire who's put in $1 million already to try to get this issue passed. What's that all about, right?
Right.
Anytime you have an out-of-state billionaire spending millions of dollars, they're certainly not looking out for Ohioans' best interests. So that's already been exposed. But you're right, the newspapers and all the media outlets are saying this thing stinks and we need to reject it. Big city papers, small towns, rural, urban, I mean, it's all over the state. Never seen anything like it. So the challenge is getting folks to even know that this election is happening, right?
Right.
So we just need to make sure that the word is getting out there that there's an August 8th election. Voting starts July 11th, and to vote no on issue one. And we're going to be doing that through mail, at the work sites, on the doors, on the phones, having earned media events, all these things to make sure that union members, working people understand that they're taking away our most cherished right and freedom to have direct democracy and simple majority rule. And why are these special interests wanting to do this? And it's pretty clear when you look at all the newspaper editorials, there's not one for it. So we need to just make sure that we're getting out there mobilizing and turning out the vote.
And this is going to still be difficult because the backers of issue one plan to use a $6 million TV campaign on this. Of course, you know, we've got labor's boots on the ground to fight this, and you're going to do what you can, but it is going to be a fight. Now, the previous legislature also kind of turned the screws on voting to suppress the vote. Can you give us any details on how difficult that's going to be, Tim?
Well, they're making it harder to, you know, in terms of what sort of identification you need to bring. And it's too complicated to do on radio, on air right now. So you need to go to the Secretary of State's website. Now, we're passing out palm cards at the work sites and other places where we have the new voting rules on one side and the vote no information on the other side. So we're doing our level best to make sure folks understand when the voting registration deadlines are, how you vote, and what you need to do, you know, when you show up at the polls. And again, you can vote early by mail or you can vote early in person, but they are making it more difficult and requiring different types of IDs. And again, just for no reason whatsoever. I mean, they keep trying to make it harder to vote when time and again, they've run all these checks and on to see if the voting is going right. And there's no fraud in the state. So why do they keep doing that? Why do they want to limit the ability for people to vote? So we're hopeful that, you know, folks aren't going to be deterred by this and they get out there and they demonstrate their right to vote, their most cherished right that we have. And I'm confident that we're going to get it done, but like you say, it won't be easy because the other side will spend millions on TV. And I suspect our side will have, you know, some money, too. People are pretty riled up about this. And we're going to do our part to make sure that it's a no vote on August the 8th.
Yeah, we got to win this one. No doubt. We got to shoot this down. And there's another part of this. I've been hearing, I'm sure you've been hearing the same thing, that if they get their way, God forbid, if they get their way, we could see right to work. They're going to throw right to work on that. And then you know, ram that through the legislature. And then in order for voters to repeal it, they'll need 60% of the vote, right?
Well, not now on a referendum. It's just for constitutional amendments. But you can easily make the case that if they get this done, they're going to come after our referendum rights.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
You know, this is attack on our direct democracy, attack on simple majority rule. And we're not going to stand for it. And I'm confident Ohioans, once they know about it, are going to reject it.
All right. One more issue here. And Policy Matters Ohio, which I know you're affiliated with, came out with a report about Senate Bill 116. And this is in the Ohio Senate that would slash unemployment benefits. Right now it's 26 weeks. And if they get their way, they would go down to 12, maybe 20 weeks of benefits, depending on the unemployment rate. What are you hearing mm-hmm. about this, Tim?
Well, they've tried to introduce this and move it in the past. And you know, we've really galvanized working people in Ohioans to reject it. What they were trying to do is balance, you know, the situation. The unemployment trust fund has been in dire straits now for about 20 years and not solvent, because the businesses that pay into the unemployment compensation trust fund have not been paying their fair share for that period of time. And the legislature doesn't want to correct that. They're paying in per employee less than all five of our surrounding states. That gives you some grasp of, you know, why it's being the fund is short. So what they want to do is try to make up the solvency on the backs of people who get laid off through no fault of their own. So they want to make it tougher to be eligible, and they want to make the number of weeks you can claim a benefit shorter. That's wrong. And, you know, right now, when you look at who even qualifies for unemployment in Ohio, we're on the bottom half of all the states in the country on who's even eligible to qualify because of the earning threshold. Now, our benefits here are pretty much in line with the national average, the number of weeks and the amount that you can be awarded. And we ought not be messing with that. We need to be raising the taxable rate that the business pay into the system, just so, you know, get it up to the national average, and so we'll be solvent. And so we may have another fight on our hands, but I know Ohioans across the state are on this issue that we don't not need to be cutting benefits on people who get laid off.
Unbelievable what's going on in the State House, really. I don't know how you handle all this stuff, but you're doing a great job, Tim. Tim Berga, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. You can find more at ohioaflcio.org. We'll do this again in a month. We'll see what happens with those lawsuits at the Ohio Supreme Court, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You got it. Tim Berga, president of the Ohio AFL-CIO. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to the state of Michigan, check in with Dan Glass. Dan is president of Teamsters Local 332. And he'll be coming up right after this.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Ironworkers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 ironworkers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union ironworkers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our ironworkers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to the state of Michigan, about an hour north of Detroit. Joining us on line number two right now is Dan Glass. Dan is president of Teamsters Local 332. Website, real simple, teamsters332.com. And they have in the vicinity of 2,700 to 2,900 members, going strong and pretty happy that right to work is on its way out in the state of Michigan. Dan Glass, welcome to America's Workforce. How are we doing today, brother?
We're living the dream here an hour north of Detroit, my friend.
I love it. And the Teamsters, I should point out, recently signed on as a national sponsor of America's Workforce. We're very, very proud to have the Teamsters on board. Talk to me a little bit about yourself. I see almost 29 years in the Brotherhood, right?
Absolutely, man. Just real quick, right out of high school, hired in as a part-time employee, worked in the AM shift called the preload at UPS. Spent 6 years doing that, and then had an opportunity in 2000 to become a driver, did that, and then that was what I was doing all the way up until I became a shop steward in 2007, and then had an opportunity to go work for our local from 2015 to 2019 as a business agent and trustee, and then wasn't quite the right fit at that time, so went back on the package car in 2019 and worked through the pandemic, and saw an opportunity for a leadership change over here at the local, and that's where we're at now. So starting effective January 1, I became the president principal officer.
Good for you, Cole. Congratulations on that. I want to talk more about UPS. I understand National is making some progress, and also the conditions. I know those cars can get pretty hot. But first, I got to congratulate you because, well, so many unions, Teamsters leading the pack, to repeal right to work in the state of Michigan. Can you tell us how engaged you were in that campaign, Dan?
Well, you know, that had kicked off, you know, well before I came on as a local leader here. But it went, you know, towards the end, you know, with the trades and with the Teamsters and our joint council, you know, 43 at the state level, out on the, you know, we were out pushing it. The big thing was when we got the right people in the House and the Senate through the last couple of years, and we were able to have the, you know, the right people leading the charge. And when we had control of both, then, you know, this is something that hasn't been done in, I think, 55, 60 years. So it became an opportunity and a reality. And the end of March this year, March 24th, is when it was official. And, you know, thanks to Governor Whitmer and all the labor leaders throughout Michigan that pushed this thing. I don't know if it's still sinking in, I think, a little bit to a lot of people. It's hard to believe, but something that hasn't been done in forever. And here we are, you know, looking at it. And less than a year from now, it's going to take effect, and it's going to be huge for all the unions in the state of Michigan.
Oh, it definitely sent a message to so many right-to-work states, and it's important that message gets out. Things can change. It's going to take a lot of work. It's not going to happen overnight. Like you said, it took decades to get the right people in office. And yeah, that's what we need. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this it went, they put right to work in 2012. So, you know, it's been 10 years, like you said, a long, long process. But when you have boots on the ground and you have the right people at the top pushing things politically for all our big unions, and then it spreads out through the locals, and you can get the right people in the spots that can make these changes happen. And it's so important to get out. You know, that's where it's a cliche, right? We say it all the time, but it is so important to vote. And you get, this wasn't just because of something that happened overnight. This was a 2 or 3 year process of making sure the right people are in the right spots to get legislation like this to go our way, you know, and along with prevailing rate and a prevailing wage and all that. So, I mean, it's like I said, it's really, really exciting. It's been pretty fun the last month or so.
And that's the beauty of unions, because they do a great job of educating their members. If you don't mind, can you be specific on what you do? I mean, you're president of a union that's almost 3,000 brothers and sisters here. And you know, today there's so many different forms of communication with social media platforms and all that. But the important thing is to make sure that your members know the issues that are coming up on the ballot. How successful have you been with that over the years, Dan?
You know, I don't know if it's been as successful as it could have been. I think prior to taking over, we'd had zero social media presence at our local. And so it had kind of, you know, it kind of gone backwards, not backwards, I don't want to say, but we kind of got dropped below some of the other unions in the area of, as far as presence with the community and having a voice. You know, I mean, I'm a big believer that Teamsters is by far the strongest union in the nation. And that's no disrespect to any other union, but I've been a Teamster since 94 and I believe in them, you know. And
right,
Flint,
right.
It's, you know, Flint, there's a saying that it's UAW built, but it's Teamster driven. And I believe that. And I want, you know, so before January, we had really no presence on that scene of getting out, you know, where our members should be looking at as far as when they're casting a ballot or even what's going on with our local. So January, we kicked our Facebook page off, or we always had one, but we, you know, instead of it just being this boilerplate reposting stuff, I've taken quite an initiative and tried to get out there and daily post stuff and use my own Facebook page and then, you know, use it through the local and try to get it out to who our members are, right? Like our own membership didn't even know who they were walking next to at a restaurant or in a store and know that we represent 50 some different groups, from national contracts to just little white papers like Alro Steel or, you know, the bakery division and all that. So it's been huge of trying to get it back out. And to your point, social media, I personally never had a social media page until January of this year when I took over and realized that it's, you have to get on board with it. You have to use it. It's the best form of communication you can have out there. And the interaction has been great. So,
yeah. Yeah. And if you don't use it, somebody else is going to use it the wrong way.
I'm using it the right way and I still get people on there wanting to use it the wrong way. So yeah, it's 100%, right? It's, you know, I call them keyboard warriors, my man. It's everybody is really strong when they're not face to face with you. That still doesn't beat, you know, as great as social media is, you have to get out, you know, and walk with your members and see them. And it's something that we're trying to do. I haven't hit all our barns yet. I'm trying to get out to them. I mean, it's been quite a process, but it's we're trying to turn it back. I think, my opinion, this is the strongest opportunity labor has had in a long, long time to really, you know, put the unions out there. And I think what Sean O'Brien, our general president, and Fred Zuckerman, our secretary treasurer, what they do and the stuff they do on social media is just, it's been energizing to me. I mean, if you don't copy what they do, I think it's crazy, because I think they lay out a very good game plan on how to run an organization, how to engage with your members, and you know, how to get the 1.3 or 4 million back to you know, be in the forefront of the labor movement.
Yep. Yeah, there's new blood in Washington with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and we're seeing it and we're feeling it. You know what? I'm going to take a quick break here because there's a couple of issues I want to bring up. UPS, I see Ascension Genesis, apparently some RNs, their CBAs expiring, and also Arlo Steel. Lots to talk about. We'll continue the conversation with Dan Glass, president, Teamsters Local 332. Teamsters, that's plural, 332.com. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Iron Workers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. AWF Union Podcast is a place to go. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to Michigan right now. Joining us on our live line, Dan Glass, president of Teamsters Local 332. Teamsters, plural, 332.com is a website. He's a UPS driver. So let's talk about UPS. You got deadline on a new contract. I know your president wants a good one. he felt that the last time the negotiations happened, which was, I believe, like 5 years ago, things didn't go the right way. There were things that were missed. And I understand that a couple of issues have already been agreed upon by UPS. I don't know what you're at liberty to say right now, but Dan, talk to me about these negotiations. Go ahead.
I think that I came, you know, because I came on in January, I wasn't, I'm not part of the national negotiation or our central regionals. So I get about as much information as everybody else does, but I can speak to it from, you know, to your point, you know, I just came off the package car in December. And so from a driver standpoint and being in touch with what's going on in our building, and we have 250 UPSers in Flint, and yeah, the opinion was very much so that the 2018 to 2023 contract was definitely not up to par. And I think General President O'Brien and Secretary Treasurer Zuckerman, you know, they were pretty much against the 18 or all, you know, full on against the 18 contract. And they're trying to now, and they will get back all the stuff we've lost. You know, there was a two-tier system created, and I don't think the part-timers were given enough attention. And, you know, these two guys and under their leadership and the pattern they've set out has been really, really impressive. And if they don't energize you to want to run the same program with all your contracts, it's, I don't know what to tell you, because that's the way they've laid this out as far as time frame. This is what we're going to do. We're not leaving until we're done working. I think is amazing. And it's motivating, because you are not going to outwork these two guys. And that, I think that resonates throughout our entire nation with our agents and our, you know, presence of locals, but more important to our UPS members. 340,000 see these guys working their butts off, and they're getting fired up. I've never seen the engagement for a contract like this is right now with what they've done on social media and putting their updates out. So I know in Flint, it's we're strong behind whatever they want. We're backing them. You know, we got their backs all the way to the end, man.
Let me ask you about the lack of air conditioning in delivery trucks. We've raised this issue with a couple of your brothers in the past year, because last summer, oh my God, it was sweltering in some parts. I remember talking to a driver, I believe he was in Virginia, and I think they were clocking 120, 125 degrees in some of those trucks. What about in the state of Michigan? I mean, it's a little bit cooler there, but still, I mean, you get some hot days. How are you dealing with that issue?
You know, the biggest thing in UPS pushes hydration, but, you know, they want you to, you know, obviously hydrate, right? No problem. We get that. But, you know, then they have ice machines that are broken, and you can't get good ice water. And by the end of the day, it's warm. And, you know, in Michigan, we don't have near the issue here as you would if you run, you know, Florida to the west, right? You know, the southwest, yeah, and down south. But it, you know, I just tell our guys, like, listen, you know, if you pull off the side of the road, you find a business that you can step into, you open them, you know, you open the back doors up when you're stopped for a minute and you're going to sort, you have to do that, get some airflow. You keep cool rags as much as possible in your lunchbox to put over your neck. I mean, again, it's in Michigan, we don't have it. You know, we'll have probably 2 or 3 weeks a year. It's those guys, I can't even speak for the guys south of us. I don't know how they deal with it, because it's, you know, I would imagine from May through August, it's 100 plus every day. And then, like you said, these trucks heat up 20, 30 degrees warmer. Well, right, in the summer, and then they're 20 to 30 degrees colder in the winter, you know, which is more of our issues probably up in Michigan, and even through the Ohio Valley is more of that winter weather, you know.
I can't even imagine what they're going through, like in Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida. I mean, those are all right-to-work states, too. So they're not going to have the voice that you have in Michigan on issues like that.
Yeah, UPS just, you write your truck up, they go through. You know, they don't give our mechanics near enough of the equipment or the parts to fix stuff. So they just, you know, we had new language that we were, you know, the last contract that we were all, everybody, if you want a fan in your truck, you can get, you know, write it up, get a fan, right? Well, guess what they don't have? We don't have fans. So it's just UPS, yeah, they'll put out the public image that they care. But at the end of the day, you know, they don't, you're still going out with a 10 to 12 hour day. So.
Right. Profits over people. That's what it's all
Absolutely,
about.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on. I see that you got a contract. And what is it? Arlo Steel? What's this all about?
Yeah, Arlo Steel. They process steel for a lot of the businesses around. They're a big company. I mean, I think in the range of 6,000 to 8,000 employees, you know, from Michigan down through, you know, like Kentucky, Ohio, and all the way into Florida. And then I think they got a couple plants out west, but they're not very many groups are organized. So we have 33, 34 here in Grand Blanc, which is just a little suburb of Flint. And the reason I put this, you know, something that I thought we could talk about was, it was just, you know, I come from a national contract with, you know, 300 plus thousand, right? So when you come over to a local and you change jobs, all you know is where you came from. And you get over here and you see these small white paper contracts, which really make up the majority of our Teamsters, you know, throughout the nation, right? And, you know, to see a group that was engaged as they were, 100% voter turnout, 100% at our proposal meetings, and they were very vocal, you know, and we got the the contract passed 2-1. But what I loved about this group was they all showed up, they all voted, and they all had opinions on it. It's proud as a a leader to have groups like this that you see that are hang out together. They buy into it. They're very vocal, and they completely had the locals back, and our local had their back, and we pushed Alvo right to a last best final, and you know our members made a decision, and that's where we're at. And 4 years from now, we are going to be able to attack this thing from another angle and work on their health care. And you know they have decent health care, but they pay too much for it. Well, we got everybody up to par wage-wise this contract, so next contract you can bet your butt these guys are going to be dug in. So, and it's just, I was proud of the group. They're a great group. And like I said, their engagement was awesome.
Good. Good to hear. One more here. Ascension Genesis. And apparently we've got a group of nurses here. Their contract expires almost a year, May of 2024. What's the status there?
Well, to use the term you used earlier, there's no bigger profits over people than a non-profit hospital. And that's what Ascension is. They are a Catholic non-profit that runs hospitals. And they, you know, when it comes to profits over people, that's their bottom line. And we have anywhere between 850 and 900 nurses over there. And I personally told my team, we are going to take the platform that the IBT has laid out for the UPS contract, and we're going to do the same thing. For too long, this contract has just held on and given up, and now's the time. You know, I've told our bargaining committee and our stewards that we are going to put a deadline out there, and we're not going past it either. That's where we're at with it. You know, enough's enough. They come in here, they short staff, they bring agency in, and this isn't just – at this hospital. If you ask anybody, they're going to tell you finding a nurse, finding an ancillary tech position, these are very, very hard things to do right now. So they bring these travels in from out of state or around Michigan, you know, paying them twice what they're paying our current bargaining unit members. And it just obviously you can imagine what that's like working next to them.
Yeah, there's a number of healthcare organizations that have seen, you mentioned the short staffing. I mean, that's rampant all around. And it's sad to see that an institution, especially you mentioned as a Catholic hospital, which normally preaches social justice, is dealing with something like this. But, you know, when money is involved, boy, it's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, your social justice goes out the door. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, we've offered multiple ways. You know, we've offered, they used to have what's called critical staffing bonuses, where if RNs or techs pick up shifts, they get, you know, a premium for that. And when they were doing that, there was no holes in the schedule. And they backed off that, and they've just decided, we're not going to do that. We don't care about the holes. We'll mandate. We'll close units. I mean, it's ridiculous how they treat them, you know. And it was something that, quite frankly, I probably underestimated how intense the situation is with healthcare in general. You know, and again, RNs, techs, it can be CINAs, it can be, you know, we have convalescent centers. It pretty much runs everywhere, you know, and it's an industry that we have to somehow get people coming back into. And on top of that, get your employers to say, you know, let's give you a reason to come here and stay instead of follow the travel money, you know.
Exactly. Well, Dan, thanks for the heads up on that. Ascension Genesis, we'll keep that in our sights here. Their contract, their CBA expires in May of 2024. Dan Glass, thank you so much. Dan Glass is president of Teamster Local 332 in Michigan. Teamsters, plural, 332.com. And we're talking about a brotherhood of 27 to 2,900 members there. So you take care, stay safe, and stay in touch, okay?
Anytime. It was great talking to you. Be safe in Ohio, and look forward to hearing it.
You got it. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we got another Teamster local. That'll be 322 out of the state of Virginia and UAW 2110. Out of New York. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.